tonight to Proverbs. I'm going to finish up what I started this morning, since we're not in a series on Sunday nights right now. This morning I started a message on the necessity of spiritual discipline. And I listed a number of things. And again, I don't want you to think that this is some kind of a legalistic form. I want you to understand that this is important. It is not legalism to urge people to be disciplined and on purpose in their Christian life, in their Christian walk. I believe that we as God's people ought to strive earnestly to be the very best that we can be for the glory of God. And that requires a measure of determination, of discipline, acting and living on purpose. And there are a lot of spiritual disciplines that I think are really important. Some that I do better than others in. But these are things that enable us to connect more with God. Like Bible intake, reading the Bible, studying, meditating upon it, memorizing portions of Scripture. All of that is involved in Bible intake. Reading, study, meditation, memorization. Prayer. I mean, and again, this doesn't have to be a certain form. You don't have to be on your knees. You can pray anywhere at any time, because prayer ultimately, it is a work of the Spirit upon your heart where you begin to cry out to God. And it involves worship, thought, discipline, activity, seeking God, reaching out to God, calling out to God. Vital to our Christian life. Worship. As I stated this morning, this ought to be something not just for Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. You ought to look at all of life as an act of worship. You owe everything. You're to present your body a living sacrifice each and every day. And when you work, you're to do it heartily as unto the Lord, no matter what task you're doing. We need to be more disciplined in realizing that what we're doing, what we're engaging in, is under the watchful eye of our great God. Evangelism. I guarantee you, if you're in the Word, if you're praying, if you're seeking the Lord, you are going to put yourself in a much better position to have an answer of the hope that lieth within you. To be able to talk to people as doors open up. And listen, doors open up every day in a lot of ways. You just have to be in tune. You've got to be disciplined. The idea of the discipline of learning, of growing, of wanting to know more about certain subjects of the Bible, doctrines of the Bible, passages of Scripture, books of the Bible. And then service. You've got to serve on purpose. There are plenty of avenues of service. You can reach out to people that need help, encouragement, a word spoken in season, an activity. Like, you might see somebody, an old woman that needs her grass mowed. Do it. Do it unto the Lord. Do it for the glory of God. Now, Phyllis, I'm not asking you to do that. Last year, she got all fired up about mowing grass and slipped and broke her hip. John, keep her under wraps on that, will you? All right. John lives right up from her. Stewardship. Again, these are all things that we have to discipline ourselves to do. Fasting. If you're burdened about something and you feel like you need to set aside a portion or all of the day, however you feel, whatever you feel necessary. Some people say, well, I can't go 24 hours. Well, do a 12-hour. Do an 8-hour. But make sure that you're not doing it just to say, I did it, or this is for health. Do it because you have a spiritual desire, a burden that's upon you that you want to focus on for that period of time. I've got another one which I'm not good at, and that is journaling. You look at a lot of the spiritual giants of the past, and they did a lot of journaling, where they would write down certain things, spiritual nuggets that they learned or grew from, or illustrations. C.H. Spurgeon was famous for this. George Whitefield, great a preacher in the early, in the 1700s. But these are all things that have to be done on purpose. It just doesn't come about without discipline. And it's vital. I'm disciplined about going to church. You can ask my kids. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. In all my kids, never, ever on a Sunday or a Wednesday did they say, hey, Dad, what are we going to do today? Where are we going tonight? Because they knew exactly where we were going. They knew exactly what we were doing. We were going to the Lord's house. Now, I also got into some things that helped to produce this change of being more like Christ. Two things are really out of our control. The people that God brings into our lives that He uses to conform us to Jesus Christ. Iron sharpeneth iron. You've got friends. You've got spiritual confidants that encourage you and bless you. You talk to them about the things of God. And then you may have people like me that are thorns in your flesh. You know, and these people that rub you the wrong way. God's put people like me in your life for a reason. And it's to conform you to Christ, to learn how to deal with irritation, with somebody getting on your nerves. I'm thinking of people that God's brought into my life to help me in that way. And it's important. But we don't have control over that. Unless you're just a hermit, and you can't be. And then circumstances. Providentially, God uses the circumstances of life to sanctify you, to conform you to Christ. Everything works together for good to them that love God, who are thee called according to His purpose. But the third thing that God uses are these spiritual disciplines. And these are things that we actually decide and determine we're going to do. Now, you may be thinking tonight as I went over that list again. Well, that's a big list, man. Come on, preacher. How am I going to get all that done? Josh can attest to this. I tell my kids all the time. Do something every day. Do something. Discipline yourself to read the Bible every day, to pray every day, to look for opportunities to witness every day. Because they're there. You just have to be open to it. You have to discipline yourself. Make a time when you're going to read the Bible. I don't know how long your trip is to your workplace. Spend that time in prayer. Or spend it in worship. Put on some hymns that you love and sing along with them to the top of your lungs and praise God on your way to work and make all the other drivers think you're crazy. I mean, but use the time wisely. And again, it takes discipline. I got a big day tomorrow. Joe said that there's 2 bushels of tomatoes that are ripe. That's a lot of salsa, potential salsa. My daughter gave me 25 green peppers that she picked out of her little garden plot. She said, "Dad, do something with these." Yeah. I'm like a rented mule. But I'll do something with them. I know tomorrow, if I'm going to get everything done, you know what I got to do first thing? I got to get up and read my Bible. And ask the Lord for His help and His grace and the strength and the ability to get everything done that I want to get done. You know what else? As I thought about how I'm going to plan that day tomorrow, I've already got 2 big old pots washed. They're on the stove. I've got all my jars that need washed. I've got them all in the dishwasher. I got all my lids and my rings and everything ready. See, if you're going to make salsa, you just don't start throwing tomatoes at the pot and hope something lands in there. You've got to be disciplined. You got to plan how you're going to get your work done. The same thing is true with spiritual disciplines. Dave's got a rental. A couple of rentals. I don't know. You know what? How do things get done? You've got to determine what you're going to do. Because it won't take care of itself. And so it is with spiritual disciplines. It requires some forethought. It requires some determination. Now, did I tell you to turn to Proverbs 25 yet? Well, go ahead. Proverbs 25 and look at verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. That is a picture of an undisciplined life that is open to the attacks of the enemy. Let me guarantee you something. You don't incorporate these spiritual disciplines into your life, you're not going to be fruitful. You're not going to be growing. You're not going to be joyful. You're not going to be happy. I can guarantee it. You will not be spiritually successful without living on purpose and actively pursuing spiritual discipline in your life. Do you know God expects us to practice spiritual discipline? This is not optional. This is something that you and I, if we're going to be fruitful, abounding believers, we've got to be engaged. Turn over to Proverbs 23 and look at verse 12. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Apply. You know how you know what you do with a decal that you put on your car that you permanently affix as a bumper sticker? I believe that there's an application here apply. Permanently implement. Permanently apply thine heart unto instruction. Unto godly discipline from the Word of God. Because I believe that will lead to godliness. Apply thine heart unto instruction. Turn over to Matthew chapter 11. I believe this is a command by the Lord Jesus Christ for you and I to incorporate spiritual discipline in our lives that enable us to learn of Him. And that's the ultimate aim of sanctification, isn't it? The ultimate aim of consecration, sanctification, is to be more like Christ. Well, look what he said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's a command. Now, you know what a yoke is. That's something you put on an animal to yoke them to another animal so that they're under control. You are to be under the control of the life, the example, the influence of Jesus Christ living in you. Take His yoke. Learn of Him. Be instructed of Him. Abide in Him. Do what He did. Live how He lived. Walk in humility, in obedience, doing the Father's will as your meat and your strength. That's how Jesus walked. That's how He lived. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. And that's not just talking about salvation rest in Christ. Do you want real peace? Make it your life mission to learn of Christ. Apply yourself. Exercise yourself rather unto godliness. And you say, how in the world can I be more like Christ and be more spiritual? I'll tell you, start here. You really make this the book that governs every facet of your life. Every aspect of your life ought to be... Somebody says, I want to know the will of God. It's right in here. It's revealed. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children. The writer in Deuteronomy said, belong to us. You want to know God's will? You want to know how to be more like Christ? Make the effort to study the Word. Say, well, I don't know what all the words mean. Look them up. Get a concordance. Talk to Alan Staley. He's like an app wizard. He got apps on his phone. He can hit. I've seen him. He just hits a word, and all of a sudden, everywhere in the Bible, that word, its definition, how it's used, it's amazing. Now I got to have actual books, but if you can learn like that, learn from him. But make it your mission. Make it your mission in life to receive spiritual instruction so that you can grow. You want to be more spiritual? Engage in spiritual disciplines. And ask God. You say, well, my desire is not there. Ask God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Who upbraideth not, but gives liberally. Go to Him. Say, Lord, my desire isn't where it ought to be. Lord, help me. Forgive me for my past, for being dilatory, for not being as consecrated, as determined as I ought to be. Lord, change me. That's what it's about, man. It's changing to for the glory of God. Away from this world to be conformed to Christ. Learn of Him. That's a command. Look over at Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He is telling you, if you're his disciple, if you're going to prove it, then you've got to be determined every day, daily, to deny yourself. I have written in my margin of my Bible back there when I quoted that verse about Proverbs 25:28 that we started with tonight. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. I've got a wide margin Bible. I've got probably 30 references written right next to that verse. On self-control and discipline. That I've done a study as I've read through my Bible, and I'll take a verse like that that rings in my scriptural Rolodex, and I'll keep referring back to it. I'll build a little study with it. But at the bottom I put, to gain self-control, give God control. Giving God control means that you're controlled by the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit. But it requires self-denial. I mean, let's face it, it's a whole lot easier to do other things or to do nothing at all. But that's why people waste the talents that God has given them. Exercise yourself unto godliness. That is a command that Paul gave the young preacher Timothy. The Lord expects us to implement these devotional practices and disciplines into our lives. And yoking ourselves with Christ. Now, here's how some people operate. There's a guy named George Kaufman. He was enduring the pitch of a gold mine promoter. And you know how salesmen are. The gold mine promoter was telling people how they need to go out west and there's chunks of gold big enough that you could just pick up from the ground. And George Kaufman said, you mean I have to bend down to get it? That's the way a lot of people are, you know. Here I am. I'm exhorting you. Mine the gold. Search for it diligently. Earnestly. Apply yourself. Discipline yourself. And you say, oh, you mean I got to do something to get it? Gold of godliness isn't found on the surface of Christianity. It has to be dug from the depths with the tools of spiritual disciplines. And I got this, a lot of these thoughts I got from a book I've got a guy by the name of Donald Whitby, I think his name is, or Whitney, Donald Whitney. And I really like what he said. The spiritual disciplines are also like channels of God's transforming grace. As we place ourselves in them to seek communion with Christ, His grace flows to us and we are changed. That's why the disciplines must become priority for us if we're to be godly. Do you know the most read man of the 19th century? You know who he was? And I think he may be the he may have the most words printed. You know who it was? C.H. Spurgeon. New Park Street pulpit, the sword and the trowel, all of the sermons that were printed in the penny pulpit, all of the books that he wrote. Here's what he said. I must take care above all that I cultivate communion with Christ. For though that can never be the basis of my peace, mark that, yet it will be the channel of it. The channels of peace and all that Christ gives that lead us to holiness are in those spiritual disciplines. Now there's danger if you don't act on what I'm saying. You won't grow. You'll waste a lot of time and talent. One guy said this, nothing was ever achieved without discipline. And many an athlete, many a man has been ruined because he abandoned discipline and let himself grow slack. Coleridge is the supreme tragedy of indiscipline. Never did so great a mind produce so little. Don't let that be said of you. He left Cambridge University to join the army. But he left the army because in spite of all of his erudition, he could not rub down a horse. He returned to Oxford and left without a degree. He began a paper called The Watchman, which lived for 10 issues and then died. It has been said of him, he lost himself in visions of work to be done that always remained to be done. Coleridge had every poetic gift but one, the gift of sustained and concentrated effort. In his head and in his mind, he had all kinds of books, as he said himself, completed, save for transcription. He would say, I'm on the eve, he said, of sending to the press 2 volumes. But the books were never composed outside Coleridge's mind because he would not face the discipline of sitting down to write them out. No one ever reached any eminence, and no one having reached it ever maintained it without discipline. That's a quote from William Barclay. I wonder how much talent you've wasted just because you weren't engaged. This is something that I've tried to emphasize in my life from the very beginning. Is this, I want to have just a compulsion to have spiritual discipline in my life. And I know that when I am actively pursuing that course, I have a much better attitude, a better outlook, I'm more positive, I get more done when you live on purpose. Here's another good illustration. Watching Chet Atkins play guitar gives the impression that he was born with the instrument attached to their bodies. Now, I guess I'm dating myself a little bit. I mean, most of you don't know Chet Atkins. My dad loved him. He's an old guitar player. They have an intimacy and a freedom with the guitar that makes playing the thing look easy. Anyone who's ever tried to play realizes that the musical freedom of such masters comes from decades of disciplined practice. I've got a family that I used to pastor when I pastored in Xenia. One of their daughters took up the harp of all things. And she was just kind of a small, quiet girl. And now she's the Dayton harpist. I think she's played with the Dayton Symphonic Orchestra. People hire her for weddings, for parties and stuff. And it's beautiful music. You can look it up, Dayton harpist. And you watch as she plays that thing and you think, how is she doing that? Making every little note sound so perfect. I'll tell you how. She wasn't born with that. Her name is Leah Morgan Estes now. Her last name is Estes. She practices. And her practice has led to a love by what she's able to produce. See? It becomes fruitful the more you practice. I've got just two more quotes. I thought I was going to be done early tonight. Elton Trueblood said this: "We have not advanced very far in our spiritual lives if we have not encountered the basic paradox of freedom, that we are most free when we are bound. But not just any way of being bound will suffice. What matters is the character of our binding. The one who would be the athlete, but who is unwilling to discipline his body by regular exercise and abstinence, is not free to excel on the field or the track. His failure to train rigorously denies him the freedom to run with the desired speed and endurance. With one concerted voice, the giants of the devotional life apply the same principle to the whole of life. Discipline is the price of freedom." One of my favorite... Have you ever listened to Elizabeth Elliot talk? She was married to Jim Elliot, the missionary that got killed by the Anka Indians in South America. This was back in the 50s or 60s. She had a radio program. She's written books. She's... believes in the sovereignty of God. She reminds us that freedom and discipline have come to be regarded as mutually exclusive, when in fact freedom is not at all the opposite, but the final reward of discipline. Freedom is the reward of discipline. How important that you and I engage and really see the necessity of spiritual discipline in our lives. May God help us. May we learn together and be instructed by Christ so that we can better serve Him and be better witnesses for Him. Let's all stand. 140.